You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today, and we got a good show coming your way. Kyle Huseman's going to join us from 24/7 Sports, and a lot to discuss. The Iowa baseball season is underway. That's a big thing. We'll talk about Iowa and Illinois coming up tonight, the Iowa women's basketball team, and a whole lot more with Kyle. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, and go over the news of the day and talk a little basketball for you as Iowa and Iowa State both in action coming up tonight. 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, always love to hear from you. And that is 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And we bring in Mark Dukes on a warm, sunny Tuesday here in eastern Iowa. How you doing?
Great, Scott. Wonderful day out. Look, good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there.
I buried the lead, by the way.
Okay.
Mark, join me in wishing Isaac a very happy birthday today.
I'm not going to sing, but happy birthday, Isaac.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Our present to you is we are not going to sing.
I really cannot express how thankful I am for that.
Big birthday plans tonight?
No, not a big birthday person. I guess if, honestly, my birthday present is tomorrow, getting to see Spencer back in action.
Yeah.
Against Ono, so that should be awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really do anything. Typically just kind of keep it low-key and stay pretty relaxed. Maybe I'll do something this weekend, go out, have some drinks with some friends. But other than that, nothing major.
All right. I like that. That's kind of the way Mark and I are, right? Mark Ironside.
I remember what day it is, yeah.
Mark Ironside just texted and said, tell Isaac happy birthday.
I appreciate that. So, I'll see him tomorrow.
There you go. You'll see him tomorrow. Big wrestling day. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to wish Isaac a happy birthday as well. Oh, man. So I'm not a big birthday. I mean, I enjoy having the birthday, but I mean, I'm not going to make a big deal of it. So I'm right with you.
Yeah. I mean, basically my birthday present typically is I just want to be able to do whatever I want for the day, which is typically just like read and watch sports. So it's not super different from a normal day for me, but I get to do it without having to worry about any chores and stuff like that.
Yeah. We've got basketball coming up tonight for you. Iowa State in action as the Cyclones will take on Oklahoma State. Iowa State's a prohibitive favorite in the ballgame. But, Mark, you got to play these games, and this is one of those that you just you do not want this to be that tweener game if you're the Iowa State Cyclones coming up tonight. Oklahoma State is not very good, but Iowa State at times in the past has struggled in Stillwater. So you can't take it for granted, right?
No, you can't, but it shouldn't be much of a problem for the Cyclones. I'm unsure whether Gilbert and or Curtis Jones will be available. Iowa State certainly played fairly well at Houston without them, so we'll see.
Okie State is 13-14 on the year. Obviously, this would make their season if they can knock off the number 9 rated Cyclones tonight at Gallagher-Iba. But I think Iowa State, even if they do not come to this one at full strength, should be okay. Not sure Iowa's going to be okay. We'll see. Iowa goes to, whether you call it the Assembly Hall or State Farm Center in Champaign, Mark. It has been a house of horrors over the years for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They will take on a very angry bunch of Fighting Illini tonight as Illinois trying to get back on the winning track. They got beat 110-67 Saturday night at Madison Square Garden against a really good Duke team. They've been sick. They've been under the weather. Going to get some people back. And this reminds me a lot of the Iowa-UCLA game when Mick Cronin called out his Bruins just ahead of Iowa coming to Westwood to play. We'll see, but man, I think this is not a good situation that the Hawkeyes are walking into tonight.
It wouldn't seem so. It reminds me about Iowa going to Wisconsin when Wisconsin was still searching for its first Big Ten victory, and Iowa got throttled there. And this series has a lot of history. A couple of years ago, Fran McCaffrey, after beating Illinois, was really upset with the Illinois coaching staff. And, you know, it goes all the way back to Bruce Pearl and all that stuff with the recruiting and whatnot. But I will say, Illinois is very capable among the Big Ten teams when it's healthy, when it's playing well. We'll just see. Favored by 10.5 tonight. We'll see what Iowa has.
Much like Mick Cronin before Iowa came to UCLA, Brad Underwood a little bit called out his team for lack of toughness after the Duke game. The quote is, "I'm not calling them soft, but I don't think we're handling the moment. We're young. We're inexperienced. I think we're a team that when we miss a shot, we put our head down. Next play, you got to get beyond that. I'll get them there," unquote. That's not the one thing I want to hear if you're an Iowa fan going to Champaign tonight.
Really. I think what Iowa really needs is certainly for Sanford and Dix to score and get a good contribution with Owen Freeman being out. Actually, against Washington, the trio of Mulvey, Bronze, and Dembele really put their combined for a really good line. 21 points, 10 rebounds, and only a single turnover. It needs more of that kind of play as well.
Yeah. That is an 8 o'clock game tonight. That is going to be televised by FS1 this evening. And Iowa can hope that Illinois goes 2-for-26 from three-point land again, like they did at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night against the Dukies. But I don't see that happening again. And the Orange Crush, they crush it when the Iowa Hawkeyes come in to the State Farm Center usually. I don't know. We could take a list and a survey of the top student sections in the Big Ten. I mean, the paint crew, the Izzo zone, whatever they call it up at Michigan State is good. The Maze Rage at Michigan. But the Orange Crush, I might put them up at the top of the class, Mark.
Yeah, they're very vocal, very active, and even make a few road trips, right?
They do.
I watched Michigan and Michigan State Friday night, I think it was, and I don't want to get into the whole Carver Hawkeye Arena and student section and all that, but it was so clear. I mean, what do you call it? The Maze Rage. Maze Rage. It was so prominent. All the people wearing the same color and active and on their feet and whatnot, right behind the benches. It's a good group, and Illinois is not much different.
No. 2757 on the text line says this is a must win for Iowa.
Haven't they all been?
Looking at the standings right now, Washington is last at 4-12. Iowa owns the tiebreaker and a two-game lead over the Huskies. Penn State is 5-12. Iowa's got the tiebreaker there and a two-game lead in the loss column. Right now, Iowa has the tiebreaker over Northwestern, who is 5-11. Minnesota and USC has suddenly gone into the tank. They are 6-10 right now, same as Iowa. and Minnesota. And I don't know if I'm going to call this a must win, but if you don't get this one, you better not lose in Evanston. I'll say that, because Michigan State at home is not going to be easy, even though it is senior night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena on March the 6th. So I'm not going to call it a must win, but I think you got to get one of these two to avoid that bottom three, Mark.
I think one more win would certainly help Iowa. It does have the tiebreakers going for it in several respects, as you outlined. The finish at Nebraska, I'll have more about the Cornhuskers on the scoreboard, but that could be a pivotal game as well in terms of making the top 15. So if people still care about that, that's what's out there for Iowa.
Cyclone Tim wishes you a happy birthday, Isaac.
Yeah, I sent him a text back.
Very good. Where Rod asks where the Hawk's Nest would rate. I'm just going to leave that one alone. The students that are there are vocal. They just need more. They need help. 319-366-1600. As we come your way in a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, Kyle Huseman is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. News today, Mark, out of Iowa City. Interesting news with the temperature of college football right now, with NIL and especially with the transfer portal. Iowa football coming out and announcing today that there will be a spring scrimmage again this year. It will be on Saturday, April the 26th at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, and it will be open to the public. You were thinking to yourself, well, that's not a big deal. That always happens. Well, yes, for Iowa, and they are still going to do it at least for this year once again, Mark, but this is a trend that is going very, I'm not even going to say slowly. I'm going to say pretty steadily toward the way of the dodo bird in college football. And basically due to the transfer portal. And many, many Division I Power Four conference schools are not going to have spring games, scrimmages, open practices, whatever the case, whatever you want to call it, because they don't want people coming in and they don't want prospective portal people to be seen on film or whatever by people, what have you. And that's why they're not going to have spring games. Iowa is going to stay with the tradition, and they're are going to have a spring game.
Yeah, and I don't think Iowa State has announced yet. Plans that last I saw were uncertain because there are some renovations being done inside Jack Trice Stadium. But clearly a half a dozen teams, if not more, have either called off or modified spring games. Nebraska, Ohio State, Texas, USC, North Carolina State, now Missouri and Florida State. No spring games, but that's due to renovations at stadiums. Nebraska's Matt Rhule is afraid of just what you talked about, the portal and his players being poached. Texas is going to have kind of an NFL OTAs type situation. Others are going to have quote-unquote spring showcases. And number one, does this matter to folks out there? Number two, should it? And I think it should, because spring games, for whatever they're worth, spring games, spring practices, open practices, whatever you want to call them, are the one of the last things that a school has the ability to connect to younger fans. Ticket prices are through the roof. Going to a game for, you know, your family of four or five people, it's expensive. And for one afternoon, whether it be free or donating a canned good or a minimal price, you can take your young kids, or maybe not even young kids, whatever, to a game that they might not be able to, or a practice that they may not be able to see the Hawkeyes in any other form in person. So I think from that respect, I hate to see the games slash scrimmages slash practices go away. But I get it. People are paranoid. Matt Rhule's paranoid. Sarkisian's paranoid. I mean, that is really diminishing. You know, you don't think other teams don't know about your players? They recruited them, or they tried to recruit them. So I had a little paranoia going on, I think. Curious what other people have to say.
What do you think? Should Iowa stick with the spring game? Should Iowa State have theirs? Well, I always call it spring game. I know it's not a game. It's a practice. It's an open scrimmage, whatever. Should they keep the tradition going in Iowa City and in Ames? What are your thoughts? 319-366-1600. I agree with you, Mark. I like to see it going and keep it going because, listen, everybody knows who everybody else has. There is enough film out there. I know they don't call it film anymore, but I'm just using that term broadly here. But people know exactly the personnel who the other team has. And if you need a wide receiver and you happen to think that said wide receiver might be going into the portal, or you hear rumors that they might be going into the portal, you're going to dig up some film, because there's film everywhere. There's film back when they were in high school, to college, what have you. There are departments now. Isaac knows this. There are departments as far as football, basketball programs are concerned, for scouting and putting things together. That's what they do in their job, 10 hours a day during the season, and put things together like that. So no, there are no secrets out there.
No, absolutely. People already know. Scheme-wise, people have a pretty good idea of what schemes teams are going and running. Yeah, I'd like to see him continue. I think Mark hit the biggest point, which is it's a really good chance for kids to connect with athletes. I went to Kids Day at Kinnick a bunch when I was a kid. I have a bunch of signatures from like former Iowa football players that I got when I was a kid. I have Sean Green's signature. I have Ryan Belaga's signature. I just have players that I remember going to that event as a kid. And it's unfortunate. It would be unfortunate to see that go away. Just the nostalgia in me. I think it's a really great opportunity to help build the community. And it's a fun event. I know it's not incredibly important on the season or anything like that, but it's fun to... It energizes your fan base a little bit, and it gives kids connections to the school. Yeah. And it's some of my favorite, you know, memories as a child going to stuff like that.
It is getting the next generation involved. That's a good way to put it. And yeah, you would lose Kids Day if you do that. Well, I guess that's later on in the year, but you, I get your point. You're going to lose that family atmosphere. Last year was just colder and cold, so it wasn't a incredibly populated stands at Kinnick Stadium for the open spring scrimmage. But I'd hate to see it go away. I guess Kirk Ferentz isn't scared. He's not scared, Isaac. He was at the wrestling meet the other night. He didn't look scared when he was shown on the Big Ten Network. He was looking intense.
Yeah, I was a couple rows behind him. I had to text my girlfriend, like, I'm pretty sure Kirk's in front of me. Will you let me know if they showed him on TV? Because I wasn't sure for sure. I only saw the back of his head.
Thank you for not, you know, ducking around the corner and sticking your head in the shot, because that's tacky. 319-366-1600. Should Iowa continue to have a spring public scrimmage? Should Iowa State have one this year as well? What are your thoughts out there? Do you go to them? Do you enjoy going to them? When it's nice weather, Iowa and Iowa State get good crowds for this thing, Mark. And granted, this is not a big help as far as the coffers are concerned anymore. When you think of everything that you know, makes money in the world of intercollegiate athletics, but you know, Nebraska. And say what you will about the streak and the sellouts and the lack of sellouts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're turning down probably 50 to 60,000 people coming to see. Same thing as Ohio State, Mark. They're probably turning down 80,000 coming to see the spring scrimmage, if you will, in Columbus at the Horseshoe. So that's a lot of money, too.
Yeah, Ohio State had 80,000 last year. Nebraska had 60,000. And I'm from an era, I think you are too, Scott, where Iowa and Iowa State used to have actual spring games.
Yep.
They split up the squads, the ones versus twos, and players would go back and forth sometimes between the two games, and it was scored, and oftentimes, you know, the number one team usually blew out the other team, the black or white, cardinal, gold, whatever it may be. Those were a lot of fun, and they've gone by the wayside many years ago, and I just reiterate what I said and what Isaac reinforced, that this is about an opportunity for, I guess, not only young people, but people in general. There are plenty of people out there who can't afford to go to an Iowa football game, but they watch them on TV. And the one opportunity to see some of the people that they see on TV, hear on radio, and actually to see them up close and personal, I think that's a big thing for some people. And, you know, I don't think a OTA or a 7-on-7 type situation, autograph session is not necessarily cutting it.
No. So far, everyone pretty much in that same boat on the text line. Sean from the bus trip. Yep, keep the spring game. 2211 saying spring games and open practices are opportunities for walk-ons to have their showcase in front of the home crowd in their home stadium. Taking this away, the few chances to play between the sidelines for those who pay money to maybe never play. Although that is also going the way of the dodo bird, because walk-ons are now have been cut a ton due to the roster limitations now. So there's another situation right there, 2211. Yeah, Rod, a lot of people did go for the beer. I'm not going to lie to you. yep, that's why a lot of people do go. Nebraska Jason saying thinks that teams should still keep having their spring games. The lone Iowa fan of my family and my 11-year-old daughter was upset when the Nebraska spring game was canceled. She was going to go with a group from her school and was sad that it got canceled. So there you go. There is absolutely what you guys are talking about.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, right there. 319-366-1600. And, yeah, Matt, it is for the kids to get autographs and to get the next generation involved in Iowa or Iowa State, what have you, Nebraska, Ohio State, Minnesota. You know, when you see, when you're 11 years old, Isaac, and you see somebody, like you said, you got an autograph from, I mean, that's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Iowa City. I was, spoiler alert, I'm a massive Hawkeye fan. I go to a lot of sporting events for them. And I didn't care if it was a real game or not. I was just thought it was really cool to see these guys in person, to have to talk with them just briefly. And you know, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have affected my future at all, but it certainly didn't hurt, you know, me thinking I wanted to do something in sports in the future. Here I am now. So I don't know. It is, I think it is significant to younger people.
Most people in the text line, Mark, agree. Keep the spring game.
Yeah, and I was going to, and I think Iowa State will have some form of it, although the announcement hasn't been made. But plenty are going in another direction on this, and for whatever reason. USC says it's because of a risk of injuries, and that's kind of what one of the texters said, you know, with the limited number of walk-ons. And I think that happens after spring ball, that you need to cut things down. But yeah, the risk of injury is would be a huge thing.
You can get hurt in practice. Yeah, you can get hurt. Hey, and Iowa's had guys, many of them, get hurt at practice. Thanks for the input. Appreciate it. 329. We've got Kyle Huseman warming up on the on-deck circle. We'll ask him if he would like to see the spring open practice continue, among other things, when we talk with Kyle in just a little bit, but we need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update first, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday, and they're a classic local American restaurant right off First Avenue, and you can go to their website and take a look at their delicious menu at emilshideaway.com. What do we have today?
Scott, there was a little time travel last night with a 49-46 final score in Big Ten men's basketball. In Michigan's win over Nebraska, the two teams combined to shoot 27% from the field and combined missed 89 shots.
Oh.
Utah has fired head basketball coach Craig Smith as the end of the regular season draws near. Utah is 15-12. With losses to Iowa and Iowa State among them. The NCAA Football Rules Committee is meeting this week in Indianapolis. A major topic of discussion will be flopping, or fake injuries, if you will. And as Isaac alluded to, the Flow Wrestling Night in America is tomorrow at Extreme Arena in Coralville. There are 13 matches on the card, headlined by Iowa's Spencer Lee, facing world champion Ono of Japan. Floor seats and a handful of other sections are sold out, but some tickets still are available.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. There was a lot of Iowa alumni there Sunday night, weren't there, Isaac? Whoop, sorry, Isaac. Go ahead.
It was letter night, so you had a bunch of people there. Yeah, it was a really, really fun crowd. I'm interested to see how many people are there tomorrow. I think so there will be good turnout. I am really disappointed Aaron Brooks had to pull out. He picked up an injury, so he was going to go against the Heat Valencia. So I'm a little disappointed about that, but, you know, it is what it is. Injuries happen. It's wrestling. It's a physical sport.
It is. It is. 319-366-1600 at 331. And also should mention that spots for the girls' state tournament mark up for grabs tonight in 4A and 5A. 3A already has their field set, but many different venues around the state. Looking forward to Xavier and Waverly coming up tonight. That should be fun. All right, so we'll take a break, come back, and Kyle Huseman will join us when we return on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Stick with us. More to come right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there will be plenty of sunshine today, and temperatures will be rising into the low 50s this afternoon. As we head into this evening, clouds are going to be building in, and a few scattered showers will be possible after 9-10 p.m. And that rain will be winding down overnight, and we'll have the clouds lingering. Temperatures drop down into the upper 30s. Tomorrow, the clouds stick around and will be held to the mid-40s, with mid-40s once again Thursday with at least more sunshine. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Brand Camp, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows, and your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping, and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. But you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back! Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a transformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance. Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Back with you on the Gym Class Tuesday edition right here on Eastern Iowa's Zone for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, and the birthday boy, Isaac, all with you here today. That's the last time I'm going to say it's your birthday, Isaac.
Sounds good.
Okay, that's it.
I am completely fine
until
with that.
Spencer gets on the air.
I'm sure Spencer will mention it once or twice. That's all right.
All right. Kyle Huseman joining us, who works with On3 Sports, the Hawkeye Report with Mr. Kakert, hand in hand. Kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. Kyle, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm pretty happy with the weather that we got going in Iowa City today, so that makes everything a little bit better.
Yeah, we were week off on the home baseball opener. Could have had it today, right?
Oh, yeah, but hey, if we can get some of this weather next week, they got St. Thomas at home next week, so hopefully we get this type of weather next week.
Yeah, well, let's hold it on. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we were talking about before the break about the Iowa football open scrimmage. They are going to have one. Like we talked about, a lot of programs are dropping that now with whatever the case may be. Let's face it, it's not getting their personnel seen and getting them poached on the portal. We all know that. But good move, in your opinion, to keep that around?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those where each coaching staff is going to have their own view on it. For Iowa, I know the a pretty big deal to have fans to be able to come out, and you know, Iowa never does really a full spring game anyway. It's more of kind of a scrimmage of some sort with some different portions of stuff. So I guess it's a little bit different the way that Iowa sets theirs up. It may be a little bit different from what other schools do. You know, a full game allows you to show some things and show some things with some players that may allow them to be looked at by other schools, like what you were saying. But Iowa does it in a way that I don't think shows too much. But it's always a fun thing for the fans. So to keep that, I think is a really good move by Iowa to do. But yeah, I'm not surprised that there are some other schools that are canceling, just because the transfer portal is such a big thing now, and there isn't really any rules on what can go on, I guess.
Kyle, we certainly want to touch on the women's basketball team and the big game against Michigan coming up, but let's talk a little baseball right now. The Hawks off to a 3-3 start, a couple close losses. From what I read, this is maybe going to be the most competitive season in quite some time in the Big Ten. How does Iowa fit in?
Yeah, I think Iowa fits in pretty well. Obviously, anytime you add in the West Coast schools with Oregon, who's a top 15, top 20 team, UCLA historically is pretty good. USC historically is very good. Washington has been to the NCAA tournament a couple times recently. Anytime you add that type of talent to the conference, it's going to get The conference overall is going to get better, but the Big Ten has some good teams anyway. When you talk about like a Nebraska or an Indiana, or Maryland's always been pretty good. Michigan's going to be pretty good. You know, there's even teams like Penn State, the team that came up in Big Ten tournament time last year and had a good run. They're expected to be good this year. So it's a tougher conference than it's been. Not, part of that is the West Coast additions, but some of it is some of those top teams are just a little bit better than usual. Maybe there's a little bit more depth than usual. I think Iowa fits in pretty well. We'll see, you know, the Big Ten schedule is a little bit bigger this year, 30 games instead of 24, so we'll get to see them play a wider slate of games. I think Iowa's a top half, top quarter of the Big Ten team, or Big Ten. I think they'll probably be around that fifth place-ish area. I think that's where you shoot for right now, and we'll have to adjust that, obviously, as the season goes. But, yeah, I think they can certainly contend with the top teams. But yeah, it's definitely a tougher conference this year, mostly because of those additions of Oregon and UCLA and USC are off to good starts this year. So it looks like they're going to be a formidable group of additions to the conference.
Now, Iowa's not lacking for good individual talent again this year for Rick Keller, are they?
No, I think that they've got a lot of the pieces. They're not necessarily the name recognition of last year with a Brody Brecht or a Marcus Morgan or a Sam Peterson or, you know, Kyle Huxdorf, who was around for a while, or Ray Dertella, who is obviously well-known. Some of those names that, you know, they come up and you just know that's Iowa baseball, or, you know, some of the MLB draft talk that some of those guys got when they were at Iowa. So there's maybe not necessarily as much of that. Obviously, Cade Obermeiler in his own right, I mean, he did get drafted. He's going to get drafted again after this year. But there's not necessarily the same name recognition on a national stage with this Iowa team, but they still got a lot of talent, and that showed out over the first couple of weeks of the season.
Rick Keller brought in a new pitching coach, Kyle, and Sean Kenny, veteran, really. And last year, as you know, the big bugaboo was walks for this pitching staff, especially in relief. And tell us about Kenny and how he's plans to manage this pitching staff.
Yeah, Sean Kenny was to me a great addition, a guy that has had experience at a number of schools. He's been coaching for right around 30 years, I believe it is. He's been out on the West Coast, was with Pepperdine in San Diego. He's been in the Midwest. He was at Michigan with Eric Backich. He was with Eric Backich at Maryland when they were in the ACC. He was I can't remember the first name of the coach at Georgia. He was at Georgia for 6 years. So been in the SEC. He was at Houston for a year in the Big 12. So he's been at a lot of conferences. He's been with a lot of different schools. He's been with a lot of great coaching staffs. And just built up a lot of experience. You think about how different the game was 25 years ago when he started. To be able to go from then to now and kind of go through everything that's changed with baseball and still continue to be successful at all the stops says a lot about him. I think Rick Keller is really happy with what Sean Kenny's done since he arrived, and you can, to an extent, see some of it already. You look at a guy like Cade Obermeiler was obviously has high level stuff, but the issue with him last year was at times too many free bases that put him in trouble. It wasn't guys getting hits. It was the walks that led to the situations, and one hit can kind of change everything. Through 10 innings this year, Cade's only given up 5 walks. So he's seen some improvement there. Aaron Savory's been good. You know, his had a little bit of free base issues in the last start, but was really good in his first start. And then Reese Buter, the other starter, has given up 1 walk in 11 innings. So the starting rotation has been pretty good at not giving up many free bases. The bullpen has been okay. I think there's been some improvement. You know, obviously that first weekend at South Florida, they gave up a couple of things that led to a couple of losses. But this past weekend down in Dayland, Florida at Stetson, they were really good. So I think, you know, as early as it is, they've only played 6 games. It's hard to draw too many conclusions. But I do like the way that the pitching staff is headed right now, especially with the starting rotation. The starting rotation has been about as good as you could have hoped for through 6 games.
A series coming up in Texas this weekend against Washington State, a Washington State team that's 0-8 coming into this series anyway. So they aren't hitting the ball very well. So a chance for Iowa to, I guess, you got to look at 3 out of 4, if not 4 out of 4, even though it is early this weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, Washington State's played a tough schedule. They played Arkansas for 4 to open the season, lost one of those in extra innings. They played Michigan State this past weekend. They played UCLA this past weekend. So they played some tough teams, but yeah, the stats right now aren't real great for them. But you do see some of those close losses. I believe 4 of their 8 losses have been by 2 runs or less. So they've had a couple of close losses. But yeah, you know, certainly you look back at last weekend, the mood has changed with Iowa a little bit. Not a great feeling sitting at 1-3 after that loss to Notre Dame, but to be able to go to get the win against Stetson, who was the host for that tournament. You know, they beat them on their home field, shut them out 7-0, finish out the weekend with the win over UMBC. You feel pretty good at 3-3 compared to where you felt you were at 1-3. But going into this week with Washington State now, it's obviously a little bit different with it being a 4-game weekend. Your pitching staff's going to get a little bit more work than it normally does in a 3-game weekend. You know, how do the guys handle playing on a Thursday to start the weekend? You know, there's extra innings for all the position players as well. So it'll be a tough weekend, another week on the road. But yeah, to your point, I think this is a series that, and I like to add in St. Thomas as well, because it's, you know, you talk about the next week here, that 5-game stretch, you really like to get 4. I think 5 is certainly possible, but as you guys know, baseball is a funny sport. It's hard to sit there and say you hope you win all 5. But I think if you can go 4-1, and then when you go into Big Ten play with Rutgers the week after, sitting at 7-4, you feel pretty good after you started 1-3.
Kyle, for people anxious to go out and see this Hawkeye team, what type of team would you describe this one? And who are the couple, three so-called standouts to look for besides Obermueller?
Yeah, I think this team is a pretty typical Rick Heller team. They're gonna be pretty solid offensively. They can do some things to scratch out some runs that you know maybe some other teams can't do. They'll lay down bunts. They'll get runners moving in ways that Rick Heller is always able to do with his team. But it's kind of one of those underrated Rick Heller teams again. That you know coming into the season, there was a lot of talk about the other teams in the Big Ten. Near the top, obviously Oregon and Nebraska got a lot of talk and some other ones around there, you know, Michigan and Penn State. Iowa was one of those that just didn't get a lot of talk. So I think overall it's just kind of one of those Rick Heller teams that kind of sits a little bit behind the leading pack of teams, the ones that get the most talk. And then once you get into Big Ten play, you start to see, oh, you know, that Rick Heller team is a little bit better than we thought maybe. And once you get towards the postseason, it's a team to look out for. So I would say that is just your more typical, maybe not the same as last year because there was so much hype around that team. But you think back a few years to some of those teams that won the Big Ten tournament when they weren't supposed to. Those type of Rick Heller teams where they do a little bit better than maybe the preseason talk that was around them. So I think that's the type of team you're getting this year. In terms of guys to look out for, I mean, you could go a lot of ways with that. I think you know, some of the guys that I already mentioned on the starting staff, I think Aaron Savory and Reese Buter are certainly guys that you want to go watch with the way that they pitched to start the season. You know, Aaron's been a guy that grew a lot over the offseason, went and pitched in the Cape Cod League, which is about as close to a pro ball as you can get for a college summer league, and he learned a lot there, and he's really done a good job this year of putting all that out onto the field in the college game. And Reese Buter as well, didn't have the season he wanted last year, but it's been really good to start this season. So I think really the starting rotation in general is certainly a reason to come watch games. But yeah, on the position player side, I mean, Ben Wilmus is a guy that has done basically anything at Iowa. He came in as an infielder. He's played in the outfield, which is where he's at now. He was the emergency catcher at one point when injuries piled up a couple of years ago. So he's done anything and everything for this team, and he's found his spot this year, or really last year, and now this year, and he leads the team with 11 hits right now. But they've got a couple of transfers that have been really good. Dan Rogers is a guy that some people from the area may know. He played at Loris. He has a couple of home runs this year. Miles Risley's a guy from Kirkwood that's up there and hits leader for hits right now. You've got Gable Mitchell, who's a Iowa City guy. So there's a lot of guys to come watch. I think it's, like I said, it's a team that doesn't necessarily have the name recognition of last year. But there's a lot of talent on this team, a lot of really good players. I think as the season goes on, you see them start to get into a bit of a rhythm. You'll see that there is a lot of talent on this team.
Kyle Huseman joining us, 3:48, right on the button here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Let's turn our attention to women's basketball. Do you have all the scenarios written out on where Iowa could finish up in the Big Ten with these last two games?
I do not have them written out. There are people that make websites that do stuff for me, so I just have to plug in the whatever. I think the winners of the games are going to be in, and then it spits out all the scenarios for me.
Yeah, and big one against Michigan at Chrysler coming up tomorrow. And hopefully we'll see if the Hawks can bounce back after a good showing, but a very, very tough loss against UCLA, of course, over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was another one of those that it wasn't a game that anybody expected Iowa to win, right? Nobody expected Iowa to go win in Columbus either. But then when you're in it and you're down to the wire and you have a chance to win, it is frustrating to drop that because that could have been a huge boost for, you know, NCAA tournament seeding. Obviously, it would have changed the scenarios for the Big Ten tournament a little bit. It would have been a huge momentum boost as well. But I think these last two games, to just be in it and to take Ohio State to overtime and take UCLA to the final possession, shows that Iowa can really compete with almost anybody in the country. You know, they went and beat USC a couple weeks ago as well, who's up there in the top 10. So I think that's the takeaway, is that this Iowa team, you know, when they're at or near their best, they can compete with a lot of the top teams in the country. But to your point, you know, turning focus to Michigan, Michigan's a really good team as well, a team that has performed a lot better than I thought they would. They rely a lot on freshmen, which is pretty impressive that they've been able to put as much responsibility on the freshmen that they have, and still to have the record that they do, sitting at 19-8 right now. Olivia Olsen and Silas George are two five-stars that came in. So you kind of expect them to come in and make an impact right away, but they're combining for 32 points a game, which is pretty impressive to do that in your first year on campus and lead a team like that to what they are now. And the Chrysler Center is always a tough place to play. But it's a winnable game for Iowa. Michigan's taken some losses against the tougher competition that they played. So I think it's a game that Iowa can go in and win. And really, you talked about the Big Ten tournament and the seeding scenarios. I think this game is even bigger in terms of NCAA tournament seeding. Right now, Michigan is projected to be a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. Iowa's a 7 seed. You'd really like to get up to that 6 seed because then you avoid going to a 1 seed or a 2 seed for regional. And it feels like you're more likely to pull an upset against a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. A 2 seed, a 1 seed is, you know, you start talking about like the UCLA's, the you know, South Carolina's, the UConn's, things like that. So I think getting a win over Michigan would certainly put them really into that conversation of getting up to a 6 seed, which is why I think tomorrow's game is really important. The Big Ten tournament seeding is a little bit, I think the scenarios are a little bit less. Iowa can't really climb as far up the standings just because of some of those close losses they took earlier in the year. But tomorrow, to me, is really an important one for NCAA tournament seeding.
All right, Kyle, good stuff. Very good. And keep up the great work, and look forward to talking with you again. And hopefully it's 51 degrees, the long-range forecast for next week for that home game. So that would be fine.
Yeah, hopefully that's what it is. I would love to have some nice mid-50s weather. I've been to some cold midweek games at Duane Banks Field, so I can only hope that it's about 55 and sunny.
Do USC and UCLA know what they're getting into weather-wise?
I don't know. We'll see. Once they have to go to like a Rutgers or an Iowa or something like that for one of those first weeks of the Big Ten season, they might want to reconvene and restart the Pac-12 again after they get to deal with one of those.
I would agree. Kyle, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. Kyle Huseman joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up for you after this.
Hungry? Quickstar's got you. No dinner plans? Food's here, and it's a pizza party. Don's pizzas are 4 for just $10. Choose from a variety of toppings. So easy and delicious. Get plenty to eat and keep your wallet happy too.
Food's here, and it's ready when you are. Quickstar isn't just convenient. It's here to make your life easier and better.
Fuel up at your ultimate destination for snacks and meals that hit the spot. Only at Quickstar.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
What's your perfect hot tub experience? Pinnacle Spas will make it happen. During the grand opening sale now through March 8th, save thousands on luxurious Sundance spas, the best in relaxation, hydrotherapy, and backyard luxury. A hot tub isn't just a purchase, it's a lifestyle upgrade. And whether you're soothing sore muscles, reconnecting with family, or creating a personal escape, there's a perfect hot tub to transform your space and your everyday life. Visit Pinnacle Spas in Cedar Rapids, just off 380 at the Blairs Ferry Road exit, iowapinnacle.com.
3:54, right on the button on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We've got Iowa State basketball coming up for you tonight. The Cyclones and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Big thanks to Lisa Nolan at lisanolanrealtor.com, the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State men's and women's basketball, as well as Iowa State football in the fall. And Cyclones should be okay tonight, Mark, as we mentioned, to start off the program. But you can't take anything for granted when you're in a conference like the Big 12 or the Big 10.
I would think tonight Iowa State covers and Illinois covers against Iowa, but I wouldn't bet your house on it.
One really good game, top 25 game, Mississippi State will be in Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama coming up tonight for Wags and all the good people at Mississippi State in Stark Vegas. In the Big Ten tonight, Greg's Wisconsin Badgers will be hosting the Washington Huskies. And a loss by Washington would help Iowa for sure. A loss by Washington, Mark, would pretty much relegate them, I think, to the bottom three.
Yeah, and it's probably not a good time for Washington to play Wisconsin, although Washington's played pretty good lately.
Gray Osador is really good. And yeah. But much like Illinois tonight, I think Wisconsin is going to be plenty angry as they come off losing a 17-point lead against Oregon on Saturday. But we'll talk to Mark Ironside coming up tomorrow. He's going to be fired up after the Oklahoma State win and getting ready to go back down to Extreme Arena for Flow Night in America. Flow, what is it, Isaac? Say it again now.
Flow Wrestling Night in America.
Thank you. Yeah. Flow Wrestling Night in America tomorrow evening. And you will have a complete report for that on Friday when you are here with us, right?
Yeah, if you want me to talk about it, yeah.
We want you to talk about
it. Sure, then yes, I will talk about it. I will have a full report.
Okay, full report.
I may miss some of the first. I think they're starting with high school matches. I might miss some of those just because it starts at 6:30.
Some exhibition matches?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, with the high school season now being done as far as wrestling is concerned. And good to talk a little Iowa baseball. I feel a little warmer talking some baseball here, Mark.
It was. I think Iowa will have a pretty good pitching staff, and whether it can stay together for the whole season, we'll see.
Yeah. Some things never change, though. White Sox are 0-3 in exhibition play and are on their way to 0-4. So some things never change, right, Mark? It's a different year.
I see the Twins beat the Yankees, albeit a team of double and A and triple A Yankees, but hey, spring training doesn't matter.
It's the drive for 62 this year for the Chicago White Sox. Actually 63, because the 63-99 season is not going to be that bad. I will take 63-99. Is that bad of my fandom to just wish for 63 wins and not triple digit losses? I don't know.
This is where we're at right now.
This is where we're at. Right now, Greg and Epworth says Bucky better win by 20 plus tonight. I would just take a nice 10-point win and move on, but that's just me. Good luck to you tonight. Spencer is coming up next for 4 until 6, taking us up to Cyclone basketball. We'll talk tomorrow. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster tails.